Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We're missing our friend Jada today, but hope she's having a great day filled with lots of quality reading time. But I'm excited to chat with Fatia about some books and bookish things. Did you want to start us off today, or do you want me to start?
I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a poem about life.
Nice.
Have you ever driven down a road just to drive it? No destination in mind, the road seems to go on and on with no stopping point. Life is like the long road going on and on, not knowing when it's going to end. But still you strive for another tomorrow, hoping that in the long run, everything will turn out all right. Just like the road, though, it must come to an end.
Why did you pick that poem? What do you like about it?
I was like scrolling down some poems because I was bored, and then I wanted to look for poems about life. Then I found this one.
It's very nice. I also found some poems that I could share, but maybe I'll share them later. Or should I share them now? I'll share a quick one now. So I was looking for poems as well, and I decided to look for spring poems because it's feeling very springy here. So the first one that I'll share today, maybe I'll share another one later, is called Spring Again, and again is in parentheses, by Michael Ryan. And it is a very short poem that I like. So here it goes. The birds were louder this morning, raucous, oblivious, tweeting their teensy bird brains out. It scared me until I remembered it's spring. How do they know it? A stupid question. Thank you, birdies. I had forgotten how promise feels. I'm excited to welcome back our bird friends and the new baby birds, too.
Yeah, spring's my favorite season.
Is it? I don't know if I have a favorite, but spring is very nice, especially after winter. And I do like winter, too, but I don't love being cold and wet. Although it's been a rainy spring so far, although I guess it's not technically spring yet, but it's been a rainy March, I'll say. But we've had some sunshiny days too, and they're so lovely. I like them. It's nice feeling like the warm sun on you again and wanting to be outdoors in the sun, walk around and enjoy the day. What do you like about spring the most?
I like it when it, like, the flowers bloom and, like, it's, like, very colorfully.
Yeah, the green comes back, all the green leaves and the flowers. It's very nice. But the bird chirping is a very, like, when you think about spring and you think about your senses, the visuals are all the colors coming back. And then, yeah, the sounds are like the wind and the rain and the birds. That's why I liked that poem. But I have a couple books I could talk about. I read two middle grade graphic novels recently. One of them is currently out, and the other one, I believe, comes out next week. Oh, no, it comes out April 2nd, so a couple weeks away. So the one that has already come out is called Viewfinder by Christine D. Yu Chung and Salwa Majoka. And I'll read the description for this one. A young space traveler happens upon Earth in the future in this gorgeous wordless adventure for fans of Shan Tan, a transportive graphic novel for ages 6 to 9, perfect for Earth Day. A young space traveler visits Earth on a whim and finds a planet empty of people. She happens upon a strange contraption that contains images of what the planet used to be like. And using this viewfinder, she sees Earth as it was, juxtaposed against Earth as it is, abandoned but still full of amazing things. Her adventure takes her to a museum full of hints about the planet's past and the strange glowing mushrooms that grow everywhere, a library that has become home to a variety of zoo animals, and a beautiful but crumbling space station from which she makes a daring escape. As she wanders, though, she sees signs that perhaps there is still someone here, a time capsule, a friendly cat, and a makeshift rail car all add to the mystery. Is she really alone? The lush and captivating art and subtle nod to stewardship in this wordless graphic novel will draw readers in and leave them with a renewed sense of wonder for the resilient and extraordinary place we call home. So that was a description for Viewfinder. As it noted, it's a wordless graphic novel. So there's, I don't believe there's any, sometimes wordless books have like a single word or like, they'll be like, I don't know, one sentence and then the rest of it's wordless. This one I don't think had any words in it. I'd have to look again to be sure, but it has very beautiful illustrations and it's very interesting because it's exploring a place that's familiar but very different because it's in a future where things have changed, where Earth is seemingly abandoned and there's these glowing mushrooms everywhere. And it's fun. I love wordless picture books where you use the pictures to like figure out what's happening in the story and what's happening with the characters, the emotions, maybe what sounds you would hear. And so having like a longer format of that was really fun. I don't know that I've read a wordless picture book that's this long before. And I thought it was really beautiful and engaging. And I think a lot of people would like it of various ages, really. They suggested for 6 to 9, but I think it could be enjoyed by older readers as well. But that's Viewfinder by Christine D.U. Chung and Sawa Majoka. And that one's out now, so you can borrow that from your library, find it at your favorite bookstore, wherever you get your books. The other book that I read is coming out April 2nd, and it is called Continental Drifter by Kathy McLeod. And this is also a middle grade graphic novel. I would say, I think it'd be fine for 6 to 9, but I think it's maybe like maybe a tiny bit older. The main character, I think, is 10, I believe. So I think it's a good tween read. But here's the description for this one. So it's Continental Drifter by Kathy McLeod. For fans of Pie in the Sky and Be Prepared comes a charming and relatable graphic memoir from debut author Kathy McLeod. With a Thai mother and an American father, Kathy lives in two different worlds. She spends most of the year in Bangkok, where she's secretly counting the days till summer vacation. That's when her family travels for 24 hours straight to finally arrive in a tiny seaside town in Maine. Kathy loves Maine's idyllic beauty and all the exotic delicacies she can't get back home, like clam chowder and blueberry pie. But no matter how hard she tries, she struggles to fit in. She doesn't look like the other kids in this rural New England town. Kathy just wants to find a place where she truly belongs, but she's not sure if it's in America, Thailand, or anywhere. That's a description for Continental Drifter. So it's a graphic novel memoir, but like with many other graphic novel memoirs or stories that are based on someone's childhood, there are some things that are loosely memoirish. Like she describes in her author's note that there'll be like a scene that happened and multiple things will happen in the scene, and whether or not they actually happened in the same day, the same year, the same hour. Most of them happened in the same year, but she's plays with time a little bit to tell the story, but it was a really nice story. The artwork's different than a lot of, I feel like there's sort of some familiar styles of artwork that I see a lot with middle grade graphic novels, and I feel like this one has a little bit of a different style that I liked. It wasn't maybe my go-to artistic style, but it was I liked it, and I think it really worked well for this graphic novel. But I thought the story was really engaging. And it was fun following this character from her sort of primary home in Thailand to her summer time in Maine. And the experiences that she has in both and the connections that she feels in both and just ideas of identity. So she's a biracial young woman. Her dad is white and her mom is Thai. And she goes to an international school in Thailand, so they all learn in English. So she doesn't even really, she doesn't know how to speak Thai. So in many ways, culturally, she's a little bit more tied to her American heritage, but she also loves her time in Thailand. She also loves her time in Maine, and she's feeling like she kind of drifts between these two homes and is trying to figure out both like how people see her and how she sees herself. It has some summer camp adventures, some family time. A great book that I think covers a lot in a short span. So that's Continental Drifter by Kathy McLeod, and I believe that's a debut novel, as far as I know. I don't see any other books listed by her. So I would definitely read more from her. I'm not sure if Viewfinder might be a debut as well. Not seeing anything else by her either. So I would definitely check those out. Those are my latest reads. And as I mentioned, Continental Drifter is not out yet, but you can place your holds with your library or just stay tuned for that release at the beginning of April. Let's see. Before we go today, wanted to let everyone know. Make sure to save the date for the Hudson Children's Book Festival. It will be held on the first Saturday in May, as it always is when there isn't a global pandemic in place, shutting everything down. But so that's Saturday, May 4th at the Hudson Junior Senior High School. For those who have never attended before, there are generally like 75 to 100 authors and illustrators who come to Hudson, and they do programs with the kids during the school day. And then the book festival is on Saturday, and they have tables with all their books, and kids can go and buy the books if they want. They can talk with them, they can ask them questions, they can look over all the books. There's some activities usually as well during the day, but that's from, I believe it is 10 to 4. Let's see, 10 to 3. Sorry, Saturday, May 4th, 10 to 3. Hope everyone will come. The library's always there with the table with our other library friends too. We usually have some craft activity and we'll talk with folks about books, but we also love to go see the authors and illustrators. But if you go to hudsonchildrensbookfestival.com, you can see the lineup of authors and illustrators so far, and it's such a great list. There's some returning authors and illustrators who we'll be excited to see again, and then there's some new folks as well. Just starting at the beginning of the alphabet, we've got Jennifer Baker, who wrote a book called Forgive Me Not, which is a book for teens. Gabrielle Balkin, who I believe is from Germantown, she's definitely local, who has many books, including What a Map Can Do, and her most recent is Meet the Megafauna. Sounds really good. She has a lot of cool nonfiction books. There's Kristen Bellausch, who wrote 1 Million Trees. Is one of her latest books. Artie Bennett, who's written a lot of books, including the butt book Poopendous and Belches, Burps, and Farts. Oh my! But my favorite is the true story of Zippy Chippy, the little horse that couldn't. Such a great picture book. I definitely suggest people read that one. Then we have Karen Berger, who wrote In the Night Garden, which is a beautiful picture book, as well as The Little Yellow Leaf. All of Us, Finding Spring, and others. Rick Bobrick is back. He also writes picture books. Valerie Balling is back. And her latest is called I See Color, but she's written lots of great books. Together We Swim, Together We Ride, Ride, Roll, Run, Time for Fun, Bing Bop Bam, Time to Jam. And Rainbow Days is an early reader series. So most of her books are picture books, but there's a couple in there that are easy readers. And just making it through the B's here. See, I haven't even gotten to the C's yet. Lenore Bontego, who's a Philippine-born author illustrator, and she has a beautiful book called Sorry, Sorry Summers. And she also illustrated a book that I loved. I also loved Sorry, Sorry Summers, but I recently read the book that she illustrated by Liz Garten Scanlon and Audrey Vernick called The World's Best Class Plant. It's really cute. It's like all of the classes in the school have a different pet, like a fish or a gerbil or whatever that they have in their class. And this one class has a pet spider plant. And it's just very sweet. As a lover of spider plants, I appreciate it. And then Nick Brühl, who wrote the Bad Kitty series, Marina Budos, who's written several books for teens, including We Are All We Have, The Long Ride, Tell Us We're Home, Ask Me No Questions, and others. And I'll stop there because I did just make it to the C's and I don't want to read every single author on this list, although I do, but I'm not going to do it today. there's other days too, but you should check it out, hudsonchildrensbookfestival.com, and see who's coming, find out more festival info, and most importantly, save the date. We hope to see you there. Such a great time. I know Fatia has enjoyed the book festival before as well. What do you like best about the book festival?
I like it when there's fun activities and books and stuff.
Do you have authors come visit your class during the week? I know that happens sometimes, but I don't know. Sometimes I think it's more of an assembly.
I don't
Do you
think that
remember that from past years?
I think it happened when I was very little.
It may have. Yeah, I forgot because there were maybe a couple years where there wasn't a festival because of COVID, and then it's possible that the first year back they didn't do as many in-person visits. But hopefully this year, and we're also hoping we'll have our radio show do our author illustrator interviews because that's always so fun. One of our favorite days of the year. We haven't been able to do it for a few years, so fingers crossed for this year. But yeah, it's such a great day. We're really lucky that this festival is in Hudson, and I'm super grateful for all of the teachers and other volunteers and sponsors and everybody that helps put it on. We're really lucky to have this event in Hudson. So, hudsonchildrensbookfestival.com. Save the date for Saturday, May 4th from 10 to 3 at the Hudson Junior Senior High School. And in the meantime, one thing that I love to do once the authors and illustrators lists get announced, I just start borrowing and borrowing and borrowing books so I can make sure I've read as many of them as possible before the festival so that I can chat with them about their books and, buy some favorites for gifts. And so you can do the same. You can look up who's coming and place your holds on all of the books by many authors. But I just out of time, but I might have time for one more poem. Let's do, I'll read Spring Storm by William Carlos Williams. Well, I was reading this poem before our show and it references snow, which we've had very little of this winter, so feels a little funny. But we'll imagine.
I feel like at school I've read a similar poem that was made by William Carlos Williams.
Oh, yeah. He's written a lot of poems and they're very fun. I really like them. I'm not sure. This one's maybe not as fun, but it's a nice poem. But you'll have to tell me if this is the one that you read or not. So it's Spring Storm by William Carlos Williams. The sky has given over its bitterness. Out of the dark change all day long, rain falls and falls as if it would never end. Still, the snow keeps its hold on the ground, but water, water from a thousand runnels. It collects swiftly, dappled with black, cuts a way for itself through green ice in the gutters. Drop after drop, it falls from the withered grass stems of the overhanging embankment.
I read that poem, but I think I read like a different type of poem.
Did you read the one about the plums? That's one of his most famous.
Oh yeah, I think I might have had written like reading like a book like a poem about like something similar like that
I'll
at
see if I
school.
can find it. That's a fun poem. He's a lot of really great ones, but let's see. I think he also maybe has a couple plum poems, but the most famous one is This Is Just to Say. So I'll read this one and you can tell me if this is familiar. It says, This is just to say, I have eaten the plums that were in the ice box and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me, they were delicious, so sweet and so cold. That's a great one.
I think I heard like a similar quote about that.
There's a couple, I think a couple collections of poetry, And I know it's something that English teachers sometimes do when teaching that poem, is they make people make other apology poems, because he's apologizing for eating this fruit, but he's also kind of like, I'm really sorry I ate it. You probably were planning to eat it. Like, it was so good. And so it's sort of like, it is an apology, but it's also like a little bit of a non-apology apology. So I've seen a lot of examples of people making a similar style poem that's a different apology that's sort of a non-apology. It's very fun. But yeah, don't eat my plums. I hope we get plums this year. We didn't have plums last year. It was very sad.
I love plums.
They're so good. I didn't like them that much as a kid, and most of my life I didn't eat plums that much. And then as an adult, at some point, I was like, plums are the best. Like, they're the best. Well, they're not the best, but they're one of the best fruits, in my opinion. But yeah, for the sake of ourselves and the sake of the farmers, I hope we get some good plums this year. But on that note, we are out of time for today. We're gonna have to say goodbye. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
Happy reading!